You asked for a liar rejoin. You got it.
You know who's a liar is the guy in the Twitch chat who said this is a good song. This is terrible.
How dare you? It's Megadeth.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's real soothing.
I'd rather listen to Alex Cora lie to me than listen to this song about lying.
Oh, we got to get to that.
Oh, we'll get to that, Ted. Don't you worry. There's more meat
on that bone. Bill Belichick lied to you all the time, and you just ate it up. Oh, just
always
ate it
Bill
up.
With you. Bill. Talk about Alex. We're also talking to our buddy Tom E. Curran. He's joining us on the phone right now, and he is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tommy Curran, do you give a poop about the fact that Drake May threw four interceptions the other day?
Yes, I do. And the reason is, look, they're not going out there and working out and practicing just for the fun of it. I mean, you want to have every single rep executed well. And you can have mitigating circumstances on each one. One was a miscommunication, one was a bad throw, one where it was a pull. Who cares? You know what? If the rep wasn't good, you are well within your rights as a coaching staff and as a quarterback yourself to say, that's way beneath what I should be expecting of myself. Don't excuse it. Don't wave it away. Don't say it's May. Don't say it's only practice. Don't say it's only OTAs. Expect more from yourself. And I think that is going to be, we're going to talk about this on Boston Sports tonight this evening as a little preview.
Like it.
I really want to see how Drake May reacts to the heat being turned up. And as I said in one of our show emails, he's about to get the Tatum treatment, where people expect a lot from a third overall pick and perhaps a franchise savior type player. And is he ready for it? Is he ready to be called out? Is he ready for people to slip out about four picks at an OTA? Because he's not Mac Jones and he's not Joe Milton. He's the third overall pick, and everybody has thrown bouquets and sung hosannas and hallelujahs since he got here. And they want to return on the potential. So that, I think, is very interesting to watch unfold.
Love the I just love it. I love that stance, Tom. I mean, let's go. I mean, that's every rep is valuable, even if it's in May. So I love that. What is your take? I've been listening to you and Phil, and I can't remember if it was you or Phil that mentioned that the playbook, Josh McDaniels, is not really holding back, that it doesn't feel like it's trimmed down, or I think maybe one of you guys were referencing something that Hunter Henry said about that. What is your take about just Josh McDaniels behind the scenes with Drake May, and what, you know, how is he, what is he throwing at him? Is it too much? Mm-hmm. Is it, what's your take on that?
First on the playbook, to hear Hunter Henry tell it, they're basically going to run the things that they ran in 2021. I'm sure that Josh is going to reach across the aisle to make sure that it's user-friendly for guys like Drake May. But I think what Phil was referencing was you saw three tight ends, you saw wide zone, you saw gap runs, you saw duo, all this other stuff that Phil gets all excited about, and I'm sure you do too, Teddy. Hoss. So, and Phil's just, wow, you know, all this stuff in. And it's not in. They're just running it. And last year, as we watched, it was a lot of wide zone and Alex Van Pelt during minicamp. And again, I defend Alex Van Pelt. He was in a bad situation and they wanted to rebuild and build up a young player. All they did was friggin' footwork. Quarterback drops and footwork in the early stages because they were trying to build from friggin' zero. But Josh has them much further ahead. I don't know whether too much is being thrown at Drake May or not. I think he's mentally tough. I think he's sharp. I think he is resilient. I think just based upon the testimony given by all his teammates and coaches, he wants to learn. So even if he is having a difficult time in any facet, and I don't know that he is, just keep pouring it on and he'll catch up. What'll be interesting to me, all of us is having spent time in classrooms. Does Josh go as fast as the fastest or majority of learners? Or does he slow down for the stragglers? Or does he say, you know what, we're going to move you down to the UFL?
Wow. So, Tommy, you have talked about a renewed sense of urgency and uptick in energy for quite a while now, basically ever since Vrabel said yes to the dress and came back as the 16th coach of the franchise in January. Taking like a broader view of OTAs and how things are moving now, do you still see that same energy? Do you still see the same urgency? And what's just your general feel of the overall vibe down there this week?
I do. I see much greater urgency, a lot of demands. You know, they're running full speed on a few different drills. There was a pursuit drill, an angle pursuit drill. I saw guys like Christian Barmore. Some of the players stood out to me. He had almost perfect attendance. The only guys who weren't there were generally dealing with injuries or personal situations, like Ramondre Stevenson in a grieving period. They had virtually everybody there. There was no Devon Godshaw home kicking rocks. There was no, you know, drama with whoever there was drama with last year. Who the hell was it?
Judon.
They're just up and running. So I feel that they're responding to the urgency that Vrabel has brought. And this lack of urgency really dates back. Come on. I mean, honestly, I'm going to do it again. It really dates back to like 2017 and 18. Mm-hmm. You know, just put it off. Well, Tom, we're going to chase Tom's ass out of here. Well, what's our succession plan? Well, we don't have one, really. Okay, well, we're going to lose Josh McDaniels. What's our succession plan? What's the rush? It's minicamp. Phil Perry, what are you, an idiot? Why are you asking us who's going to be the play caller in minicamp? You think we call plays in minicamp? What, are you an idiot? It's just that kind of tenor of non-urgency and we'll figure it out when it reveals itself has vanished. And last year being a prime example, too, the entire franchise basically calling it a foundational year to mulligan. You can't have that. Can you tell I did at the gym? I was 40 minutes on the bike. Jesus. I had a little C4.
I noticed. Lucky energy.
It's
on this
Andy
show.
Hart-esque, actually, right now, which is impressive.
Yeah, I'm going to collapse on the other side of this.
Holy Moses, the crash is going to be spectacular. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. So, Tom, I think there's a couple positions we all believe/hope they're going to be better at on offense. That's O-line, the offensive line and wide receiver. But there's still a lot of bodies and moving parts at both of those positions. Did we get a little early?
Is this a two-part question?
Sampling? I don't know. What am I, John Dennis? Jeez. Did we get a little early sampling in OTAs of maybe how that's going to play out? And Pop Douglas, was I premature a year when I said 100 catches for him?
Might have been. No, you're right on, baby. You're right on.
Suck on that, Ted.
He was the one who was most excited, Ted, about what Josh will bring to the offense. I really think that Josh is going to try to feature him as much as he can do. Great. And if he breaks down, good. That's wrong.
Wow.
If he breaks down, Efton Jenkins comes in. You know,
Chisholm. Yeah, and by the way, Phil Perry.
Who the hell is Efton Jenkins?
No,
I don't know.
You went to school with him or something, probably.
And by the way, Phil, can you tell the senator, tell Phil Perry to calm down? His Efton Chisholm excitement is off the charts. My God.
See a doctor,
get a room, guys.
He stands out.
I was going to make a filthy pun. but I think it is, it's fun to watch these guys embrace their new roles. I do think DeMario Douglas will do that. What I'm curious is, you know, I think that most of us, or most people, not me included, because I don't think Cole Strange is an absolute disgrace to the game of football. I really don't.
I agree with you.
He's had occasions where he played at a capable level.
Yeah.
Not a Pro Bowl level, but he was a decent enough starter. He's been victimized by dealing with a really bad patella injury for 2 years. He did not have surgery on it in 2023. He did have surgery on it in 2024. He's not a slouch. There's a guy who could help. Caden Wallace was pretty good when he was out there, except for the ankle. Layden Robinson shouldn't be a stiff. So those are things that I look at for the depth that, as we all do in friggin' May, oh, this guy looks good. You know who looked good the other day to me, even though it was a limited participation? Jalen Polk, which is the same thing I would do every year with Tyquan Thornton.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, that I just
every look, year.
Yeah, the dog looking at you sideways. Hmm? Really? Okay. I want to do a two part.
Come on!
Just like Andy does all the time. But how's the fourth overall pick looking? I mean, I don't know. Will Campbell starter day one. He should probably be the starter there for the next 12 years. I don't know. People are talking about his narrow shoulders. He looks like a pear.
They really are.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that jumps out at you. Phil and I talked about that on the pod, and Phil said, you know, you're really a body type guy. And I do. I think body types are really interesting, honestly. I mean, I've read a lot of interesting books reflective of body types. There's a book called The Sports Gene by David Epstein, which I found really interesting. You know, the best athletes in the world have skinny ankles.
Yeah.
And narrow calves. And you can look it up.
It's true. There's truth to that.
You know, the best swimmers have long-ass bodies and short legs because their body acts as a Hulk. Mm-hmm. Fascinating book. Tremendously politically incorrect, I think, in this day and age. But it's fascinating to read because, you know, you have evidence to back things up. But when you look at Will Campbell, just on first blush, his shoulders are 20 to 25% more narrow than everybody else along the offensive line. And they were in shell-type pads. But his shoulders are very normal size, narrow, meaning normal human narrow.
Right.
Which leads to probably a little bit of the wingspan situation. If your shoulders are closer to your neck as opposed to further away, then your arms are going to be a little shorter. How does his unbelievably sophisticated, athletic, well-developed, and solid lower body compensate for any upper body limitations? And how does his mind work? And how does his first step work? All that stuff, as you guys know, is going to matter. And I really like listening to Morgan Moses talk about how much he liked him. Garrett Bradbury, the center from Minnesota, who's come in. They're very positive about him. So all I can tell you is, what did I see from Will Campbell? I can see why scouts and analysts would look at him and say, wow, he doesn't have a normal build for a franchise left tackle. I can see it. So we'll see if he refutes it.
Milton Williams put a story on Instagram of him battling against Will Campbell, saying that, you know, they had a little dogfight out there, which was also good. So it's nice to see that he's getting a little respect from the teammates as well. I did want to end on another positive note, Tom. I did a podcast this morning with your pal, Mego, and she said, while cozying up to you and chatting down there the other day, you said to her, "See that over there? Look at that. Look how good Barmore looks." If Christian Barmore really does look better and he's feeling healthier, do we really have the chance for like a good old-fashioned classic Patriots defensive line again?
Absolutely, you have the potential. I mean, Keon White, don't want to take him at 17. Got him at whatever in the second round.
38, yeah.
And he's shown why he would be looked at that way. He's a very smart kid. He's got a temperament that would, I think, if channeled the right way, be unbelievably solid. Vrabel might be the kind of guy to be able to channel that because he's so smart. He's one of those guys, Ted. Remember the guys who used to score too high in the Wonderlic, and people are like, oh, we don't need these smart guys, independent thinkers. I think Keon White's a very smart and intelligent guy, and he wants to know the why of things. And we saw that last year. We would sit in the post game and talk about, is he freelancing out there? Is he trying to make a play? Mm-hmm. And probably he was, because like, we suck. If I don't try to make plays, we're just going to lose again. So hopefully they can channel that tremendous resource and make it good. Milton Williams is Milton Williams. Barmore is a ridiculously good player and hasn't even scratched the surface. He should be a Pro Bowl level player, and he looked great. And then I really like, every time I turn on Harold Landry and we all talk about what the worst offseason signing was, or the most questionable at least, was either him or Carlton Davis. And if you just watch Harold Landry get off the ball last year, coming off the defensive left, offensive right, it's like he's shot out of a friggin' cannon. If anybody out there remembers Ricochet Racers, he comes out like a Ricochet Racer. Nobody remembers.
Ricochet. Nope. I remember Ricochet Rabbit, yes.
You don't remember Ricochet Racers, though?
No.
Nope.
They were a toy. I'm going to send you the link.
Okay.
I want to link to that book, actually, if you don't mind.
I'm actually more interested in the book as well.
I'm curious about that book. Yeah. So if you,
what if you're shaped like a Florida avocado? Does that help?
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, what was I made for?
About, hard work.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, Tom.
You really were.
He's a pack mule, exactly.
Made for hard work.
Go find a couch because you're going to crash soon. You're coming down off the gym high, the energy drink high.
Ready to work in, though.
You gave us a good hit here. So we'll talk to you next week. A little more Patriots OTAs, right?
Thanks, bud.
All right, yeah, we'll have another one. Okay, kids.
Stay back. See ya. Tom Curran, yeah. NBC Sports Boston, breaking down body types for us.
Efton Jenkins.
I love it.
Yeah, well, Efton Jenkins, making up names of players, dude, that don't exist.
That's after a workout when you're starving you're, like, lightheaded.
Or may not have forgotten you had to do this.
Again.
That's what that interview was. God bless it, he got through it.
He did a great job, and he thinks good things are coming for DeMario Douglas. Great minds think alike. We'll talk a little bit about that and some other Patriots nuggets next here on WEEI Afternoons.